A very good morning to you, my dear listener. Welcome to Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station in the land. And thanks for choosing Eagle FM to be in your company, this morning. And it's always a pleasure for us to be in your company. So, good morning. Wherever you find yourself in this very beautiful country of ours that we call the land of the brave. So how are you doing wherever you find yourself at this morning? So as always, if you're on the road, make sure that you take care of yourself, you follow the rules, the traffic rules, and also that you also make sure that, you know, those that are in your care are safe, wherever you're going, whether you're going to work or you are taking the kids, to schools. So good morning to you and welcome to Eagle FM. Today is the 20th of May, the year, 2025. So my name is Mike Chauvelli, and you are tuning to Unpacking the Day. So the show where we dive deep into the stories, events, and issues that shape our world. So this show is all about breaking down the headlines, exploring the context behind the news, and understanding how it impacts our lives. So whether it is now the latest development in politics, business, culture, or social issues, we are here to make sense of it all together. So, but it's not just about us talking. It's also about you. Share your thoughts, your opinion and perspective on the topics that matter most, to you. So this is your space, to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So, and if you're just joining us, a very good morning to you. Today in the history of Africa, on this day in Africa, so what happened, what events do we have that happened and that have taken place on this day in Africa? So, yeah, each May the 20th, the Cameroon celebrate its national day, also known as a Unity Day, to mark the 1972 referendum that transformed the country into a unitary state. It is a public holiday of parades, cultural performance, and national pride. So on the 20th, in 1983, one of the deadliest attack during South African anti-apartheid struggle occurred, the Church Street bombing in Pretoria. So the car bomb planted by the Umkhonto we Sizwe, this is the arm wing of the African National Congress, exploded outside the South African Air Force headquarters, killing 19 people and injuring about 217 others. So this event marked a significant escalation in the arm and resistance against the apartheid. So other maybe global observation marked in Africa as well is the, you know, World Bee Day. Today, it's a World Bee Day. Eh? Or Onyushi. Esiku yo Onyushi nena. You know? So, and also a World Metrology Day. And are both observed on the 20th with related commemorations and awareness activities held in various African countries. So, esiku yo Onyushi nena. So it's a World Bee Day today. So, yeah. So I don't know what you would do. Maybe preserving the day. How do you celebrate that? You know, the World Bee Day, celebrating of preservation of the bees, or maybe, you know, collecting the honeybee. Yeah. So, but it's a World Bee Day today. So whatever is done on that day. So, and Meteorological Day as well, celebrated as well, observed as well in the world. All right. So thank you. If you just, now joining us, this is, Eagle FM, and you are on Unpacking, the Day. So when we get back, so we get into our, we look at our first item on the show. Stay tuned.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. Valvetia University September intake 2025. All programs are fully accredited by the NQA. Certificate in Health Science Foundation Level 4, 1 year full-time, all campuses. Certificate for enrolled nurses, midwife, acoucher, Level 6, 2 years full-time in Windhoek and Kurankuru, Kompat, Wavis Bay, Katima Mulilo, and Autapi. A diploma in environmental health science, level 6, at 2 years full-time in Windhoek. A bachelor of nursing and midwifery science honors, 4 years full-time in Windhoek, Kulankuru, Kompat, Wavish Bay, and Katima Mulilo. Postgraduate diploma in mental health nursing, level 8, 1 year full-time in Windhoek. Postgraduate diploma in community health nursing, level 8, 1 year full-time in Windhoek. The application period is from the 1st of May until the 30 June 2025. For more information, call 061-225-463 or 061-225-462. Valvetia University, where everyone is an achiever. All right. So good morning. If you're joining us, just at this minute, you're welcome to Eagle FM. And, thanks for making us your number one choice, this morning. So, yeah. So, and maybe you are getting to where you're getting to your office now, wherever you are, Eagle FM is with you. So that's right. So accessible anytime, anywhere. All you need is your phone. If you have your phone, you are instantly, you can be instantly connected, to the news, to your favorite shows, and also to so much more, features on Eagle FM mobile app, especially especially the vacations, not vacations, job seekers, how do you call that? My God, you know. So all you need to do is just actually download the Eagle FM mobile app, and you are good to go. So, and also, on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, the The Villager is also published. And if you want to stay in the know with business, economic news, and latest policy development, so you can grab your digital copy of The Villager every Monday, every Wednesday, and Friday. All you need to do, send a WhatsApp message with your name and email to 08-200-41-44, 08-200-41-44. And if you are a business person, we are making it easier than ever to grow your business. So our complimentary apps, which is the Imba app, and also the Eagle FM, the Eagle FM mobile app. These are perfect for boosting your products and services to a wide range of consumers. So, and don't forget our social media platform. As I always said, they are some of the most active in the country, giving you the perfect space to really elevate your brand or product or service, you know, to make it more visible. So you can contact us at 083-288-400. So 083-288-400. All right. So, and if you just joining us now, a very good morning to you, and you are right, you are on the right platform, you are on the right station. Now, so today we are kicking off with a discussion on Africa's battle for credit. This is by the United Nations. So we're looking at information coming through the United Nations. So over the past few years, African government have paid some of the world's highest interest rates on loans. Sometimes actually billions more than actually the richer nations. We pay more billions and billions more than the richer nations for exact same amount of loan. So now to tackle this problem, the United Nations Economic Commission for Africa, the ECA, and the African Peer Review Mechanism, the APRM, you know, recently brought together government officials and global rating agencies in Africa, in Accra, Ghana. So the workshop was all about now opening up dialogue, you know, sharing local data, challenging outdated views, and also finding ways to give African economies a fair shot. So now, just a quick background to what we will be looking at. So, as I said, the African government today face some of the highest borrowing costs in the world, literally billions, you know. And as I said, you know, and this sometimes is more than the richer nations pay for the same loans. Now let's give a quick example, which we'll look more in detail. For example, now a 1 billion loan that costs Germany just over 200 million in interest over 10 years. So that 1 billion loan, it would cost Germany just over 200 million in interest over 10 years. It ends up costing Zambia, for example, more than 2 billion. So over 10 years, it costs about 200 million in interest for Germany. But for Zambia, it costs Zambia more than 2 billion. So now this huge gap comes down not to how well countries manage their money. It's not about how well actually that countries actually manage their money, but on how the outside credit agency perceive those countries, how this outside credit agency perceive Germany, how they perceive Zambia. So that's what determines that. So we're going to look at that a little bit more. And also looking at Africa, despite owing a total of about 1.1 trillion, you know. So, and also paying 163 billion a year in interest. So we're paying about 163 billion a year in interest. Most African countries remain in the, what is referred to as a junk category or a junk status. So, and when you are in that status, when you are in that junk category, you are now forced to spend far more on debt. You are now forced really to spend far more on debt rather than on your own service in your country, like schools, hospitals, and maybe infrastructure like roads or things like that. So this is what now the critics say. The critic point out that credit ratings mixed with data. So the credit rating, it's actually mixed. It's mixed hard data with opinions. So it's, you have hard data and then opinion of expert about that country. So, and often now that often missed the really growth stories on the ground. So the critic now is that actually that it does miss, because you have now the qualitative assessment and then you have the quantitative assessment, and somehow the critic feels that missed the real growth stories on the ground. So now to fix this problem, so the Africa is launching its own rating agency. So you know that you have those international agency, rating agency that normally, you know, do the rating. So, but now Africa want to have their own rating agency, the AFCRA, to offer assessment, rooted in local realities. So they would have understand better the African realities. So narrowing the gap between now the borrower and the lender. So what we're now going to look at, what we're going to unpack in this story is now the borrowing gap. So we will start with a clear example that we give at the beginning, why Germany can borrow at a low cost rate while Zambia pays more. So why, we're going to look at that and what causes that difference. Well, stay tuned to see that, to understand why there is a difference in that. And also, how credit rating works. So I will explain how rating agencies, like these are now the international agencies, like Moody's, S&P, and Fitch, you know, how this agency decide a country score. How do they decide a country score? And why that can, and how, and why that can really hurt African nations. So we're going to look at that as well. And then also the real impact that have on how this higher interest, that impose on African countries, how this can eat up money that could build schools, you know, clinics and roads. That's what we're going to say. And what are the root causes? We also look at then the main issues, you know, what are the main issues that, that actually contribute to this problem. And also then look at the solution that are given in the story. So the idea is that the new African Credit Rating Agency, the AFCRA, that will be the way now maybe to actually tackle this problem in Africa. So when we come back, we then get into this.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo chikao shafasa na nana nongeshefa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moyao ota ingongote samweni anageshefa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa onjika seitha nina omayaguro nilandito mwa iyoe yongeshefa yoyo kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House ngwe tuende timemeha uu kakombanga nina kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu moambo lengira selma konara heta tuimu datu ndatu heari hamano tano oni aji Eagle FM the eye.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lüderitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.
Yes, you are on Eagle FM. And you are tuned into Unpacking the Day. So, and we're looking at the story from the United Nations that's actually looking at the Africa's battle for fair credit. And then at this point in time, so let's start with the borrowing gap. So let's break this down, I think, in a very simple term. So why that big difference? Why we see that big difference? Now, imagine borrowing 1 billion, okay? So you're borrowing 1 billion. So the German pays a low rate, like 2.29%. So over 10 years, that pay about 229 million extra, all right? Now, Zambia, on the other hand, on the same 1 billion, pays as much as higher. So they pay as much higher rate as 22. So Germany is paying 2.29. So while actually, you know, Zambia would pay actually at 22.5. So, and they end up then paying about 2.25 billion extra. So that was now in interest. 2.25 billion in extra. So that 2 billion, that 2 billion, more, the reason why that it's actually more is just because the lenders think now, the credit, agent, I mean, the rating agencies now, think that Zambia is actually riskier. It's more risk, and not because of how Zambia would actually spend the money, but if they just look at that, Zambia is more riskier, compared to Germany. Now, so why they rate now, the rate is actually different. When you borrow money, so people want to know how safe you are. I'm just putting in a simple term. So they want to know how safe the country is. If you have a strong economy and stable government like Germany, so the lenders trust you more and charge you less. You see? So now you have a strong economy, you're stable, your country is stable, your government is stable. So now the lender trusts you more and charge you less. So if your economy is seen, and this is a matter of opinion, and this is where now the opinion comes in. So if your economy is seen as shaky, or your government is less predictable, like now Zambia as a matter of opinion, so lenders add a big risk fee. So meaning you pay a lot more interest. So they add that big risk fee. So this country is risk. It's riskier compared now to, as we said, to Germany. So now, what is this risk fee? Now I want you to think of it as, you know, think of it as an extra cost on top of the safe loan. You have this safe loan because each one of you are actually getting 1 billion. Now, this is now an extra cost on top of that. If a super safe loan like U.S. government bonds, for example, cost 4%, but investors feel you are riskier, they might actually tack on an extra 18.5, for example, for a total now of 22.5. You see? That's how it arrived to that difference, you know, when you compare now with Germany or with the US. So the extra chunk is their way of saying, I need a bigger reward to take the chance of lending to you. So I need that bigger reward, you know, to take the chance of lending to you. So, and it's no difference actually with, with how actually also bank operate more or less in the countries as well. So because they are taking that, a risk according to, you know, to that now rating agencies, so now they need actually a bigger reward to take that chance of lending the money, to you. So now, what impact this actually have? What kind of impact then this kind of disparities have?
Need lightning fast internet? Paratus has you covered. The network Namibia relies on. Whether for business or pleasure, Paratus' cutting edge technology ensures both reliable and speedy internet connectivity. We exist to serve your needs through our high quality network and pride ourselves in offering client service excellence. Connect to Paratus today. Visit us online at paratus.africa/Namibia or call us on 083-300-1000.
Always, always. The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
All right. So now, welcome back. So we talked about the risk fees that actually this big chunk that and added on top of your super safe loan, for example. So now and the whole question is that, you know, whatever the lender is, they need this bigger reward because you are more riskier. All right. So now, when you look at most of African countries, the more you pay interest, the less you have actually left for things you really need. Now, this is now building your schools. This is now building your hospital. That's why you find that there's no progress in delivering those kind of service. So a road in some countries. So because Zambia's extra 2 billion in interest, that could have actually paid for a lot of those projects. You know, and sometimes that's you in US dollars, 2 billion. So, and some of this actually, what is that? The debt, you know, those, that loan, it's actually more than your budget. Now, so the bottom line, so you have to understand, this is not just about numbers on a page. So it shows how important it is, you know, it is for African countries to share clear, reliable information about their economies, and also directly and talk directly with lenders and build trust. So they can borrow at a fairer and lower rate. So that's why that meeting, that type of workshop actually took place in Ghana, just to review and look at some of these of these issues. Now, how do the credit rating work? Okay, so think of a credit rating like a school report. Okay, let me put it. It's like a school report card, but for countries. Now, look, think of this as for the country. So the rating agencies, we mentioned those, mainly the Moody's, the S&P and Fitch, or how you pronounce it, Fitch. So they decide how healthy a government's finance look before lending it money. So they are the one who decide how healthy, put that in inverted commas. So how healthy a government's finance looked before lending it money. So, and here's how they do it now. So one, the first, they collect hard data, things like now how much debt a country has compared to it's compared to its economic size, how fast its economy is growing, how much foreign investment is flowing in. So those are now hard datas. Okay, so they pull these figures from trusted sources such as now the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund. The problem is that, you know, as I said, if you don't have a reliable information, and if the country doesn't share clear, reliable information about their economies, so this would determine how you'll be classified. So it's also very important that the country itself provide clear, reliable information on this kind of things. So. And next, they talk to government officials. They talk to economists. And remember now, this is the other first is the qualitative, assessment. All right. Depending on what you have provided, out there in terms of your, the debt country has, to, in comparing to its economic size, how fast its economy is growing and how much foreign money is actually coming in. So now those are now the qualitative assessment. The other quantitative assessment, is now they talk to government officials, economists. You remember how we bring on, economists on the show, and if you bring in two of them, bring a different, you bring in one today or tomorrow, they have all these different opinions, you know? So, and those opinion can be, you know, can be used by this agency, to rate, you understand? And also business leaders, to get a sense of the political climate, and stability, and even how well laws are enforced in the countries. Also looking at, you know, how are the policies and laws are enforced, in the country. And this is like a teacher now. As I said earlier on, take it as a report card, a school report card. So this is like now a teacher asking around to see if a student is really working hard. Not just actually looking at test scores. The teacher is not just looking at the test scores, you know, in the class, but also asking people around, about the student. So that's, think of that as the country now, in terms of the country. Now you combine those facts and the informations, the feeling of the government officials, the economists and the business leaders. So on certain issues that you're asking. So, now they mix now the hard data, the objective part. That's they call it objective, if you like, and with this expert opinion. And we know this is now this subjective part, and we know how that works even in our country. So unfortunately, that second bit, the opinion, can introduce actually bias. So that's can introduce bias into this rating. So even if a country's numbers look good, okay, a perception that its politics are unstable or its data is unreliable, that can drag its rating down. So that can also actually drag its rating down. Now the result is a letter grade. So like A or B for solid borrowers and C or D for riskier ones. You know, you have now A or B for those solid. These are solid borrowers, and then you have C or D, maybe, you know, as I said, as a school report card. So now country with top marks pay low interest. Now think of the German now that we, the example of German that we looked at. So now this is the student that have a top mark. So country with now top marks pay lower interest. So, and those with lower marks pay higher interest. And now think many African nations that are stuck in that junk status. So, and as I said, when you're stuck in that junk status, it will hurt you. It will definitely hurt you. So most African countries receive low grades, okay? And they are stuck, and they are in that junk status. So even when they are, now this is now sometimes, even when their economies are growing and their debt levels are relatively modest, maybe like Namibia maybe fall in that categories, you know? So as a result, they pay much higher interest rate, which eats into now, and that eats into your budget for schools, for hospitals, for other infrastructure, or service delivery in the country. So in fact, only two, African countries currently have the investment grade rating, and not the junk status. This is actually Botswana and Mauritius. While the rest are labeled speculative or junk. Okay? So that's why you find yourself in a junk category or junk status. So in short, credit rating makes solid number with that human judgment. All right? With that human judgment, you know, human opinions. And when those judgment lean on outdated, for example, maybe outdated stereotypes or uneven data, they can fairly punish a country. So driving up borrowing costs and making it harder for, making it harder to fund, things people really need. That's how we find our circle. We find ourselves in this, you know, in this unending circle, you know, so chasing our own tails. So when we talk about now Africa's debt, we're not just dealing with big abstract numbers. And that's why we're talking about it here, is we are talking about a real money that could be actually spent. You know, if this quite a lot of money is now being servicing the debt, this is the money that could be spent on everyday needs. So, and now across the continent, a government owe roughly, imagine the government owe roughly, across the continent go 1.1 trillion to a foreign lenders. So each year, they must pay now, the government, Africa, the whole, you know, Africa, pay about 163 billion just in interest. So, I mean, this is, they call now debt servicing. So 163 billion, you know, for debt servicing. So think of that. Think of the of 106 billion as a giant pot of money. You know, that giant pot of money. If we could redirect even half of it, eh? What is half of that? Half of 163 could be, well, I wasn't too good at math. It could be about 80 billion, you know, around 8 billion. So if we could redirect that, even half of that towards now pressing priorities, so we could be able to build, you know, thousands of new classrooms and hire more teachers. We can be able to do that. Just half of that. Yeah? Construct and maybe upgrade dozens of hospitals and clinics. Yeah? So we can be able to extend, you know, clean water pipelines, you know, into rural communities that we still have actually countries and even communities in many countries that have no clean water. And one of the sector, the improved road and transport that link, you know, our countries. Some of them are horrible. Or even in our own country, there are farmers that cannot actually get their good to the market because of the kind of the road. So just imagine, you know, half of that money could, 80 billion, that's US dollar, could actually make a big, big difference. And you can see now that because of that, quite a big chunk of money is actually supporting the economy of the West, you know? Now, as you see, instead, much of this cash disappear into this inflated interest payment. So that leave, now what does that mean? It leaves less for schools. That's why we have many, many schools in rural areas that need classes, that need, you know, we need to employ teachers and all that. It leaves less for hospitals and clinics and other public services. So when government are forced to dedicate large chunk of their budget to debt, it is everyday people, students, patients, farmers, you and me, who feel that pinch. So when this is actually talked about, when we talk about that, it's not just something abstract. It's something that really affect you and me, because this junk of money, it could have been used, you know, to invest in public services, but now it's servicing a debt. So it becomes a vicious cycle. So the higher debt cost can slow. It can slow economic growth, and which make it even harder, you know, to raise revenue and pay off debt in the future. So because it becomes that vicious circle. So, and breaking this circle means tackling the root causes, which is now a fairer borrowing terms. We need to have some kind of a fair, you know, is it a fairer? A fair, most fair borrowing terms, you know, a better data and transparency, and also a strong local financial market. But it's also some of this also depending on us as Africa. So in short, servicing inflated debt, it steals actually resources that could transform local lives. Okay. And if we understand this, we see why, you know, a fair lending and smart debt management are vital for our Africa's future. So the other thing is also that I said that we will look at it. What are the root causes? What are the root causes? You know, the main reason why African countries end up with higher borrowing costs. So one of those we looked at that is subjectivity and that bias when rating agency add that expert judgment to hard numbers, to that qualitative assessment. So the personal opinion and a preconceived notion can actually slip in those assessment and affect, influence the judgment, the rating. So, and we have seen that during the worldwide shocks, the global recession, many African countries get dropped down a notch automatically. They get dropped down. And even if they weather that storm, whether they handle that storm, they were dropped automatically. And this mix of fact and feeling can unfairly really punish a country with solid economic policies, maybe like Namibia. So, and it's something that, they were looking at. The other thing is data gap. So this, I'm looking at now why the main reasons why African countries, you know, end up, with higher borrowing cost. So one is also a data gap that a lot of African countries or a lot of African economies have big informal sectors. So this informal sector, think of the street vendors, small family farms or home-based business. So that don't show up neatly in the official statistic. So these, in some cases, maybe they don't show up really in those official statistics. So on top of that, some country actually struggle to collect up-to-date data. You know, they just collecting that, you know, found it very difficult. They don't have mechanism of collecting up-to-date data. You can go to some of, it's like that, you go to some of the government website or, yeah, and you find things that are as old as 2015 and, you know. So, and when now this agency is looking at that, they have information that is actually come 15 years ago, not updated information. So now when analysts only see partial or old figures, they assume the worst. You understand? And they raise the risk premium. So driving up the interest rate. So those are some of the reasons that we also need to take care of, you know, to have our information, data updated. So the other thing is also stereotype, media stereotype. Okay, we have, as a media, we also have to be very careful, because international news, when you look at the international news, and sometimes it's not, yeah, we do that also as an African media. But when you listen to the international news outlets, often focus on crisis, you know, crisis, conflict, corruption scandals, outbreak maybe of diseases, and they underreport. You don't find really focusing on progress in those countries. So now these agencies, all they see is this crisis, this conflict, corruption scandals, and outbreaks of disease. So they don't see progress in economic progress in those countries. So this constant negative coverage build a perception that Africa is a risk place to invest. So, and one study also found that these bias stereotypes cost the continent, this bias, you know, stereo cost the continent around £3.2 billion, you know, every year in extra interest, you know, payment. You see that? Because of that. So, there aren't really data on the ground. Sometimes they just rely on this international news outlets. So, so in short, a fair judgment, you know, unfair judgment, missing datas, one-sided stories, all feed into the higher borrowing costs of African governments. So now tackling these root causes by making ratings more objective, improving more data collections, and that our responsibility as African as well, and telling balanced story, maybe from our perspective, that can help also bring those cost downs. So what are the solutions that that have been, you know, suggested in that workshop? So that to level now the playing field, African leaders are creating their own rating agency under the African Union umbrella. So instead of relying solely on the Moody's and S&P in New York and London, so the African rating agency will use local experts who understand our economies firsthand. So, and it doesn't mean now they are ditching global agencies. So it means that adding a home ground voice that can explain our unique strength, like growing digital sectors or strong remittance inflows, and also more accurate data. So by offering more balanced view, you know, the African rating agency aims to help now government borrow at that fair rate rather than what we experience at the moment. So, and the other solution is actually a good decision, need good information. So many African government are now beefing up their statistics, you know, they're beefing up their statistic office to track everything from informal trade in market stalls to a new factory output. And this is also what the FDI yesterday that we talk about trying to feed, you know, and the perspective that it tried to create for this as well. So by collecting and publishing clear, up-to-date data, so they give actually a rating, they give rating agencies and investor a full picture, and less guesswork and fewer penalties as well. So openly sharing budget figures, debt levels, and economic plans, that actually build a trust and can chip away at that risk premium that most African find that themselves that drives up that really drives up the interest cost. So yeah. So finally, we must change the this is now looking at the solution, is that we must change the story people tell about Africa, instead of only hearing about crisis and corruption. The world needs to see success stories. So booming. So there is, you know, maybe, you know, technology investment that's coming in Africa. So renewable energies, breakthroughs, and thriving creative industries. So the world needs to hear, to tell about Africa. So we need to tell a different story about Africa. So, and a recent study found that negative media coverage alone add over £3 billion a year to our borrowing costs. So promoting balanced positive narrative through African through African journalists and through African outlet, maybe filmmakers and business leaders, I think we can challenge that stereotype and show lenders that we are stable, we are growing, and worth of a lower rate. Yeah. So basically, that try to break down the reasons and also why the difference between, you know, the countries, and also looking at what are the solutions that Africa can do to change the situation. So what is your take? So you are most welcome now to come through. If you like to have your opinion or you react to this information, so our telephone number is 08333-66091, 08333-66091. So you're most welcome to come through now and have your opinion or contribution to this very topic.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo chikao shafasa na nana longeshe fa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moya o ota ingongo tisamwene anageshe fa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika seitha nina omayaguro nirandito mwa iwe yongeshe fa yoyo kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House ngwe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina kara omkwashi pareki uimupo yomo programa detu Moambo, dengera selma, kodara heta kimu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oni aj. Eagle FM, the eye.
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludwitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM,
the views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its...
All right. Welcome back. Our time is about 30 minutes past the hour of 8. And and as I said, we've been looking at the discussion on Africa's battle for fair credit. This is the United Nations Economic Commission for Africa, an African peer review mechanism, recently brought together government officials and global rating agencies in Accra are really to discuss the African government have paid some of the world's highest interest rates on loans, and also looking at now how the African government can actually tackle some of those issues. So yeah, and we looked at the borrowing gap, you know, and also how the credit work, how the credit rating work, just to explain how that actually work, how those organizations rating decide a country's course. We look at that also. We're also looking at now the impact that would have on a country, the interest repayment, which is eating up money that actually could go into schools, could go into hospitals or roads. And also we also look at the root causes. In terms of what actually contribute to this, and also the solutions, the workshop also propose that government could do, and also what African country can do to change that. So yeah, those are some of the informations or datas or that we went through. So what are you saying? What's your take on that? So our telephone number is 08333 66 091, 08333 66 091. All right. So if you would like to, you know, add on that or contribute on that, you're most welcome. And but otherwise we also going look at the, there's also a very, how would I call this? You know, if yesterday in, is it yesterday? Yeah, in our yesterday, let's look at, in our yesterday's, not unpacking the days. So yesterday's villager, you know, an Eagle FM, I mean, in yesterday's story, in the villager, there's a stories that shine a spotlight on how long it really takes to move a good through the Trans-Kalahari border post and why those delays cost all of us. So we have a story in yesterday's edition of the villager that really shines a spotlight on that. So the title of that story is 5 hours to clear an import truck at Trans-Kalahari border. That's a story by you know, Menma Valley Erastus in yesterday's edition of the village. So when you look at this story, the background of that, earlier this year, from January 15 to 25, the Namibia Revenue Agency timed how long trucks spend clearing customs at our busiest western border. So the result, published in May 2025, shows that each import truck takes about 5 hours and 31 minutes to get through the import that are coming in. So it takes about 5 hours and 31 minutes to get through. Now, and the exports take roughly 4 hours and 34 minutes, you know. So maybe the questions we should ask ourselves, well, I can ask, why 5 hours? So when you hear that now, for you, when you hear that 5 hours, so, or 4 hours and 34 minutes, why would that matter? So why would that matter actually? So the reason why it matters is that every minute a truck sits waiting, the costs pile up. So every minute a truck sits and is waiting, the cost actually is just piling up. Now, so in terms of fuel and wages, because the driver burn extra diesels and also on overtime, the 5 hours that he spends there. So he could have been, you know, if you stuck at the borders for 5 hours, you know, it's how many hours from there to get to Windhoek if you're coming from through Botswana, for example. So probably less than 2 hours or so. So that is an end, you earn now overtime. But you also burn an extra diesel by having, you know, the car running. So because if you have the cold storage, refrigerated trucks, for example, you know, it must run nonstop. The time you are there for 5 hours, that refrigerated truck must run nonstop Otherwise, the goods actually get spoiled. So imagine now that the truck, that's why I said you ban extra diesel by just actually not moving, by not moving anyway. So, yeah. So, and of course, there are what those, how do they call it, demurrage, charges and high premium, you know, and high premiums also kick in. So, yeah, as I said, every minute a truck, sits waiting, you know, and also that's what, yesterday when I talked to, Mrs. Wanja, that's also said we also engage some of stakeholders when it comes to investment to understand some of these if investor actually go through those kind of bottlenecks, if you like. So it shy away the investors because, you know, 5 hours for your truck actually to get in, there's so much that you're losing. So all this added cost now, where do they end up? And this is why, is it, why 5 hours matter to you? Why would be bothered by that? All that added cost, where do you think they will end up? They will end up on the store shelf. You know, they will definitely end up on the store shelf. You know, so you pay more on, you pay more for your cooking oil, you pay more for your electronics or whatever, you name it. So it will end up on your, on the store shelves. So, and you also have to think when it comes to this delay, you also have to think about small businesses, you know, with tiny profit margins. What would that actually do to them? And sometimes of this small business, they have take out expensive short-term loans just to cover those delays. So how you see how that would affect also our entrepreneurs and small businesses. So, and the other thing, it would also affect Namibia.
Enticing or enticing people to take more of these debts so that the money can circulate in the what? Take debts so that the money can circulate in their economy so that they can save their economy. So now I'm asking myself as well, why can't we do the same thing as well when it comes to African Development Bank? Why can't I give my resources as what? Go to the Central Bank,
yeah.
African Development Bank, I offer my resources as backup for the loan that I want to take. The African Development Bank starts printing money for me at the end of the day, and then my resources will back up that particular what? That particular loan.
Yeah.
Or rather, if I have a certain streamline of what of gold, let the African Bank hold that as collateral. That no mine is allowed to mine that particular part unless it's within cooperation with the Central Bank of Africa. And then those that are mining there should also be able to cooperate with the Central Bank as a contribution to pay off my debt. So that the debt that I took, I can use that to develop my country at the end of the day, as far as production is concerned and upliftment is concerned.
Yeah.
Because it does not help that you have resources but you can't use these resources, even though it is in the ground. Why can't I use these resources as collateral at the end of the day? Because if you look at the United States, how is money printed at the end of the day? Because the United States is printing money out of thin air.
Yeah.
But Africa has to have their money come from European countries that are printing this particular money for us. Yeah. Why can't the Central Bank not print our money at the end of the day? Because you remember that money was always better by gold until the French went to the Americans and said, look, I have collected enough of my gold. of your currency.
Mm.
Now, take this particular currency, because when money was created, it was created as a receipt. Like if I have gold, I take it to the bank keep my gold, and then the bank gives me what the receipt or value of that particular gold that I had in the bank.
Yeah.
That's why it's better than gold. Now, the Americans were unable to give friends the gold that they were demanding. When they say that, okay, I've collected enough of your currency, can you now take this currency and give me gold, since it's better by gold?
Yeah.
That's when the American dollar went from the gold standard. Now they are busy printing money out of thin air. So at the end of the day, if you look at the Central Bank of America, it's the same bank that is empowering what the World Bank and the IMF at the end of the day.
Mm, yeah, exactly.
That's
yeah.
why we have the American dollar circulating. And who made the decision that the American dollar should be in international tender currency?
That's what now BRICS want to break down. Yeah.
Exactly. That's what BRICS want to break down.
Mm.
So at the end of the day, we must ask ourselves, should we be concerned about the interest, or should we actually be concerned about breaking free from this European imperialism? Because how is it that France is saying that with your resources, whoever buy your resources, 50% comes to me.
Hmm.
And 80% of your reserve must be in the French bank, central bank.
Yeah. But the problem now, how do we get out? How do we get out of this vicious circle that we found ourselves?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think, that's when we need those that study economy, the economists, those that advance with their MBAs, maybe so that they can be able to guide us and see how can we best liberate ourselves from this particular situation. Because we know of our situation, and we know that we are frustrated.
But why is it
that we are still in the same situation, knowing that it's not leading you anywhere?
Yeah.
What is Traore doing and his compatriots to move forward, to have better negotiation, and also to empower his, because what we understand is that he's able to sell his resources.
Yeah.
At about, because what he used to get, what he used to get 2 billion for, is now getting 80 billion for. Yeah, how is he getting it right?
Because, I mean, if the state take over the resource, the revenue comes directly to the state rather than institutions that are running those. We have a quick commercial coming up, and then maybe you can wrap up later. All right. Hold on.
This Africa Day, ShopRite is bringing you the lowest prices to celebrate. Save with great deals on all your local favorites and more, like 2 liter Pepsi.
Under Japan,
yeah.
as far as development is concerned, but it's now the leading, one of the leading economies in the world. How did Singapore made it?
Yeah.
India, how is India making it at the end of the day?
Yeah.
But how is it that African country, even though we are also colonized by the Europeans, why are other countries, especially the Asians ones, are doing better than Africans?
Yeah.
I think that's where we should look at.
Mm.
When you look at the Arabs as well, the Arabs do not have so much resources as Africa, but they are able to do something. Look at countries such as Qatar. How is Qatar moving forward? How did they become such a big power as well? Mm.
But some of those questions goes directly to ourselves, because how do we have plans like Vision 2030 that would have actually, if we followed that vision, we would be an industrialized country by now, by 2030. So how do we actually, you know, deviate from that, what happened, you know? So as much as sometimes we're looking at the imperialist in terms of that, but there are certain things that are our own doing also that we need to look at. Yeah.
If you look at what Singapore did, Singapore had an iron man.
Yeah.
That man did not tolerate nonsense. It was hard work, and he did not tolerate nonsense at all.
Yeah.
So Singapore made it by becoming, by holding people accountable, by pushing people to be diligent, and by sticking to its plan.
Yeah.
Because their whole plan was nationalism and building the nation at the end of the day. So I think we need such a strong leader.
Exactly.
As well. Mm. And I don't think in order for us to get there, you need a strong leader, but you also need a strong system, because if you have a strong leader who's only going to govern for 10 years and then is replaced with a weak leader, then the whole system collapses. So you need a strong structure of governance that whoever takes over remains within that system, so that we can make sure that we industrialize just like other countries. Because one thing that we have as Africans, that inferiority complex that we have, the fear of others and thinking that something can only be done when it's approved by others at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So, and the inability to hold each other accountable. When you know that I'm corrupt, just because I'm close to you, you do not hold me accountable, because I might just expose something of you as well. So this mentality and attitude that we have towards each other, that we see something wrong, but we cannot point it out, and we do not deal with each other, and we bury it under the rug, at the end of the day, the ship will continue to sink, because none of us are standing up to correct.
Yeah.
So I think it's a whole shift of the mind. Like a certain gentleman, Louis Farrakhan, says that we need to unlearn so that we can relearn.
Exactly. The other day I brought Dr. Omo Matundu, and we were discussing the inconsistency of policies. Whoever comes in a new administration, when they come on, they focus on something else instead of actually, you know, they abandon, not really maybe abandon, but they don't pay priority anymore to what the other previous government was focusing on. And that in itself, it's kind of like shooting yourself in the feet. Eh? So you're not moving away. You're just circling around, you know? So five years is not long enough. Someone comes on and he starts something else. The other one, that project is now, it doesn't take priority anymore. Now it focuses on something else. And there was so much money spent in that project. Mm.
If you look at South Africa, apartheid, the Boere, they focus on the agenda of the Boere.
Exactly.
And no one can deviate from that. E.W. Botha, when he becomes president, he knows that he has to follow the agenda of the structure of governments and only of the party at the end of the day.
Yeah.
He cannot deviate from that. The problem with us is that, What's the word? We want to focus on our own legacy.
Yeah, we want to create
a
legacy.
I'm not going to follow the plans that was there put up by, even if I'm from the same particular political party.
Yeah.
I'm not going to follow the structure or the program. I'm coming up with my own system.
Mm.
You have all these NDP, and then I'm coming up with Harambee. Plan, and then somebody has come up with something else, and then you have projects that are spending that are undone at the end of the day, because each one has they want to be to leave their own legacy so that they can be praised for particular things.
Yeah.
But I think if we can deviate away from self gratification, or rather putting our agenda first, and make sure that the agenda remains that the country first.
Exactly.
Above all, mean the country first, and we must stay within line of the program of the country. I think we can move forward in that way.
Yeah.
And then we must be held accountable so that we can stay in line.
Mm.
If you fail to deviate, Boris Johnson, how did he lose his, how did he drop as a prime minister? Just because he held a party during COVID. Such a small thing.
Yeah.
Somebody was removed. Somebody has to leave power. So if we can also hold our leaders accountable, look, stick to the plan, fail to do so, move out of the way so that we can get somebody else who can stick to the plan.
Exactly. When you're listening to a new administration, it looks like, is this a new party or what? You know, so because the agency and the focus is totally different, and you're kind of like, okay, what about the focus that we have before? you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because you are telling us, look, the legacy continue. The legacy continue by why are we driving in the same, in a different direction?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Now, thank you for coming through and your contribution. Eh?
All right. Bye.
All right. Yeah. Guys, if you're listening, let me actually. So there, I'm receiving some WhatsApp here. People are not, even the app, they cannot hear the app. They have the mobile app, you know, but it's everything looks good here. So yeah, just let me know. All right. So very good morning to you. And welcome to Eagle FM, and this is Unpacking the Day. Good morning to you.
Morning to you too, Mike.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you too?
I'm all right.
Wonderful. Let's break it down.
Yep.
Let's break it down. Because me, I'll just begin within your conversation with Abina. Abina.
Yeah.
So now, yes, it's true. That system needs to be broken down.
Yeah.
Hence the efforts of this group. And many, many other more countries are joining.
Yeah.
It's to really make sure that there is justice in the world.
Mm.
In terms of economy and any other area of our lives. So the dominance of the US dollar, everybody is, nobody is happy with that kind of a dominance.
Yeah.
Because people are even, especially when the resources, the natural resources, and even many, many, many other resources, they are coming from Africa.
Mm, exactly.
Being not even taken by true consensus or whatever, but just by force.
The
system that, like Abinet said, you need to be more patriotic.
Mm.
To ourselves, and then we don't take accounts. You know, we don't hold ourselves reliable,
yeah,
accountable to many of these things ourselves. But I have read many stories about strong leaders, is it to pull down things or to reduce things or what is it? Because there's a different kind of scenario now that is going on in terms of leadership.
Yeah.
Qualities that are necessary to lead in this global era.
Yeah.
And that's why we need to be more very conscious and about that thing, that issue that you are doing. So when I look at some of this national plan, like NDP, what is it? Not NDP, all the NDPs, well,
yeah,
even NDP6, the one that's moving on now.
You don't even know how many, ne?
No, they are many.
Yeah,
the first one up to the sixth one that we have now.
Exactly, plus other developing plans that every president comes in with, you know? Yeah.
All those things ought to be there anyway. Good money. All those things ought to be there. Because you are actually building every agency or whoever must contribute toward the achievement of Vision 2030.
Yeah.
All the programs, all these documents that are being developed and drafted, of course there are those who are not in alignment, but when these things are detected in that manner, they have to be rectified. But what I'm saying is that all these plans, this institutional whatever framework that you have, even in the national framework, we are aligned to those kinds of things.
Yeah.
So anybody that comes with a plan, obviously, if it is, you know, if it's viable, you still need to build on the foundation. Just like the constitution, for example.
Yeah.
So anybody to align himself or to confirm yourself or himself with the decision.
No, one thing that Namibia is good at, we are very good. The kind of our policies and developing programs, they are the best. You know, I think one of the biggest diseases that we have is actually implementation. That's why we are where we are. You know.
Now you ask a question, what do we do?
Yeah.
In this sense. We just need to be, you know, when you have that spirit of that kind of movement, that force, maybe it's that strong leader that you are talking about now, that's this kind of force,
yeah.
And you really want things to be implemented. And I was reading an article, they said, this administration is no longer like, usually in. So where you think, and I can see the spirit, the jubilant among the people. You see that the implementation is a problem. Why is it a problem? Maybe we need to ask ourselves, man. Is it not the no capacity, no resources, but the resources are there because sometimes you hear resources going back to the national prison.
Yeah.
So, but what is the issue? Let's now discuss the issue of implementation, if that is the case. Because we have got an implementation plan, all those documents and policies, they are also having, they are developed alongside with the implementation plan.
Yeah. So let's hope that the with the new administration that has now following the SWAPO manifesto implementation plan, which is actually something different to look at the practical way of how do we get this? Because you have now, you have the social, priorities, and then the enablers. It shows you what you need to do, but the whole question is, can we get it done? That's the
issue. Right. Thank you very much. Let me conclude with that point of manifesto, especially SWAPO manifesto. I can tell you that I've sat in many, many, many platforms and meetings and things like that. When that document comes up and is quoted, cited, and good plan, good principle, you discover that many people start to somehow resist diplomatically. And you can see that the aspirations of the people and everything is aligned to that thing. It's aligned to those documents. Even when you just preamble brief, you know that this is how it is designed. And I'm just not here. Yeah, it could be many other manifestos. But I'm telling you now the one of that I know in most of the meetings, when you talk about issues of gender, issues of whatever, all these areas, it crops up. But you see some kind of resistance from the people just to incorporate some of those important good principles. So this is really a struggle. People need to seriously fight. And maybe those who are evaluating and monitoring, need to see whether these documents, these are really aligned to the what we our strategic objective and all these other things. So thank you very much, Mike, for highlighting some of those issues. But what we are saying is that BRIC is now trying to break that one, but we need to be more patriotic to support our own effort, because we are the one who are used by the imperialists to revolt and do some kind of anti-what, I don't know.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for coming through.
Our time is 16 minutes past the hour of 9. And if you're just joining us, this is Unpacking the Day with me, Mike Ostrovelli. So what we're looking at, so as I said, we need to look at ourselves, really. Sometimes we need to look at ourselves and hold ourselves accountable. If you are in a position where you never really, look at yourself and judge where you are, how do I get where I am? If you always, think that your problem is because of others, so you will fail. You will fail actually to deal with the issues. Yes, there are other circumstances, maybe situations that may contribute to where you are that have nothing to do with you. But, you know, there are also things that actually have to do with you. And those one, you need to look at it critically and improve them. Yeah. If not, you will find yourself in the same situation over and over. Insanity is doing the same thing, hoping that, you know, something will change. So hopefully, we're learning and shifting, you know, some of the policy that would improve, the way we do things, so that we start to see, a change really in living condition of our people that are finding themselves, in this situation. And when you look at the, if you want to fix the mistakes and, but, you know, one thing that you have to know is that the court battles are more expensive and slow. It takes years and years. Sometimes it takes years. It's not the fast things. And often it costs now more. It would cost you more to fight than actually to, than the support you paid. So those are some of the issues that are being highlighted. When it comes to this issue, they also talked about, they're also the emotional impact, of, on men. So, you know, sometimes, you know, we talk so many things about women. We also have to talk about these things about men. So finding out later, I think, can cause a severe stress for a man. It can cause some shame or even lead to some, take extreme actions. It happened in some situations. And, it's also not only, this is not only an emotional impact on a man as well. It's also on children. So when learning the truth as a kid, you know, it can really trigger, some kind of identity crisis. You know, questioning, like, who am I or where do I belong and all that. And then that also leads to some children, maybe if you are teenagers and, you know, going through some, identity crisis, you know, so can lead also to some of these young people, committing, you know, suicide. So the emotional impact can also be on the families as well, you know. Such revelation can spark some kind of anger, you know, and mistrust and even domestic violence. Some of domestic violence comes in terms of that, because of that. So, yeah. So there are really things that need to be looked at, when it comes to the DNA test proposal. So, yeah. So what is being suggested? So what is being suggested is that make the DNA test mandatory for all babies born to unmarried parents. So any child that is born by unmarried, you know, parents go through a mandatory, DNA test. And that should be done at public hospitals before the registrations. So those who support that, indicates that then cleared up any doubt right away from the very beginning. So that cleared up, you know, some that doubt. And then some men know from the day one if they are the father, avoiding your years of heartbreak and wasted support, some would say, of payment, later on. It's when they found out sometimes there. So, yeah, and so how would this actually work? Then after birth, a mother, an alleged father, so give samples. You give samples, the result go onto the birth record. Well, the married couples could still also test, but they are not forced to, according to what they are suggesting. So, but there are also some ethical and legal, you know, questions in terms of privacy and consent that, you know, you can't force someone actually to take a test. So people have right to decide what happened to their bodies and to DNA. So yeah, those are also issues that also the whole question of trust in relationship also, the mandatory test can imply suspicion and hurt that the bond between and really hurt the bond between the partners. So yeah. And also revealing that infidelity, it might put also a woman or children at a greater risk of violence and shame as well. So yeah, but according to the Constitution, our Constitution protect personal liberty and dignity. So compulsory testing, yeah, could actually face a legal challenge. It may not work at all. So yeah, just a quick rundown looking at what implication this could have. And that, my friend, bring us to the end of Unpacking today. Thank you for those who actually took part in contributing to the show this morning. And let's do that again tomorrow at the same time here on Eagle FM. So please do continue listening to the programs that are coming your way today, and right online, right coming up is Mind the Gap with Helmut. For me, Mike Oshaveli, I wish you a pleasant day ahead. Goodbye.